You said that you're in the performance, did you say?
No, I was in the what was called structures department.
Could you just explain how your career developed from there?
Yeah, okay. Structures department was basically we were responsible for stressing, doing the stress and frequency analysis on all the many components that Doughty Rotor produced at that time in what was called the dynamics area. A bit after I joined the company, the whole of the technical department from our court moved down into what was called the new tech block. And so we had airframes in there and they did all the landing gear. But Doughty Rotel had been responsible for propellers, gearboxes, fuel flow proportioners, ram air turbines, a variety of different components on the aircraft. And in the structures office, we did the stress analysis of all those components. So that I started off in my early years, I did stress work on pretty well all of those components. Learned quite a lot of the different pieces of equipment. I would think it was late 60s, early 70s, when the company first explored the idea of manufacture of composite blades. Up until then, the blades had been made mainly from aluminium. And of course, in the early days, the military stuff, Spitfire and Hurricane, were wooden blades. But we looked at the idea of making composite blades. And the first ones we made were purely glass fibre with a foam centre to it. The middle part was a polyurethane foam. And they were made principally for hovercraft. And we worked with Vickers on the VT2, VT1, VT2, and Saunders Roe, SRN5, SRN6, and put composite bladed propellers on all of those hovercraft, and they worked. And they worked very successfully. But as you know, sadly, although the propellers worked, there weren't many of the hovercraft actually sold and working, because they were pretty noisy, I have to say. Mid-70s, we started thinking seriously about converting all this to making blades for aircraft. But that then we knew we would have to use carbon as the major load-bearing material. So we did a huge amount of work then on, and I was principally then responsible for the structural and frequency analysis of the early carbon sparred blades for aircraft. I can't remember the years, but I would think mid to late 70s, we got our first order. And I think there were many of us, we didn't know whether to laugh or cry, because the learning curve was huge, absolutely huge. And of course, in those days, I don't think CAD systems had come into place with regard to the drawing. So I was doing a lot of the drawing on board and then doing all the analysis of the blade sections. Yes, we got the order for the Saab 340, but you have to realise that because it's made from layers of cloth, you can't simply look at the dimensions and the cross sections of the blade and say that's going to be, those are the sizes that we've got to make, because you can't have 3.5 layers of cloth. Got to be, you know, right. You've got to make it to the layers of cloth. So my analysis had to be very closely related to how the blade was manufactured. Yes. I knew in detail everything about the blade manufacture. I had to know that because I had to know that what I was designing could be made.
Yes, I understand that.
Then we've made a blade. We've got to inspect it. On an aluminium blade, all you did was inspect your dimensions, the geometry, the outside geometry. That was all that was needed. Is it to the gauges? We had to inspect the inside of this blade. We had to know that the resin that we'd injected into all this dry cloth had got through and everything was solid. There were no voids, and all the joints between the different materials were all absolutely as they should be. And in the outside world, basically, there weren't a lot of people to help us. All the people that were manufacturing the cloth and the other materials that we used, and all the people that were working with us on inspection techniques, they had done nothing like a propeller blade before. So all the people we worked with outside of Doughty were on the same steep learning curve as we were. It was huge. It was huge. And having inspected the blade and found, yeah, that's good, fine, the next one might not be good, but is it good enough? So that all our development testing had to incorporate minor defects, shall we say, so that we could present all our arguments to the CAA and all the other people that we did business with, that even if this small defect was in the blade, it was acceptable. I mean, thankfully, most of them were okay, but we had to know what was scrap and what was acceptable. So that development testing took on, and laboratory testing took on another huge leap forward,
yeah,
as we were all then learning about this different material and, you know, what it meant and how it would operate in the outside world. So that it was, yeah, those early years of the blade manufacture, blade inspection, as well as the blade design, all of us in that composite blade team were all working very closely together. As I said earlier, Graham, I had to know the limitations of the materials. And, you know, you can't just go in it blind.